Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
This week, we're entering into the fourth part of a series called Because of You. And this series is simply helping you to understand how God's kingdom actually needs your participation. And that's how he designed it, for his kingdom to expand on the earth and for people to experience the redemption of Christ's life and forgiveness and the love of God. And so the series is, and we've actually launched our Kingdom Builders 2020, where you know that we've made the commitment this year to give $1.8 million outside the walls of this church. Aren't you glad to go to a church that lives beyond its walls? Come on, man, that is such an awesome thing. Man, it's such a blessing to do this. But I want to help you to understand something very simple about a Because of You life, that it operates within the context of God's kingdom. Now, God's kingdom doesn't operate like the kingdoms of this world. And if you don't understand the kingdom of God and how it operates, it will be very difficult for you to live a life beyond the borders and the boundaries of your own problems. Anybody here ever have any problems? Am I the only one here? Anybody ever have any, life ever just show up and just stop you in your tracks? Man, if it has never happened to you, God bless you. But you live long enough, life's coming, man. But how do you live beyond the walls of your own pain? Beyond the walls of your own limitations, your failures, your weaknesses, and even your own success? How do you live beyond a life just simply trying to take care of your four and no more? How do you get beyond that? If you don't understand how God's kingdom works, you'll never be able to cooperate within it. And it's an amazing thing that God taught us about how to walk in his kingdom. He did not leave us ignorant. So there are three keys tonight that I want to teach you to help you understand how the kingdom of God operates in your life. And here's the first thing I want you to understand. The kingdom of God, this is so important. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of seeds, not trees. Say out loud, it's a kingdom of seeds, not trees. Now what do I mean by that? Trees bear fruit. And that's a great thing. An apple tree at its fullest, man, hundreds and hundreds of apples. That's a wonderful thing. But a seed produces a tree. And I want you to understand that our God has a different economy of scale than most people think he does. Now, if you know anything about businesses and startup companies and people trying to do an IPO and all that good stuff, everybody talks about scaling their company. Man, if we could just scale, then we could X this and Y that. God believes in scale. But when he left Jesus, the last thing he said on the earth before he left us was this: I want you to go, and I want you to get me the whole world. You talk about scale. Every living, breathing human being on planet earth, God wants those people in his kingdom. And so the only way that's going to happen is if the kingdom operates according to his principles and not ours. You know, in my hand here, I have a packet of tomato seeds. Now, I asked them to get me tomato seeds for a reason. Because every year, right around harvest time, when people's tomatoes are ripening, I usually drop some serious hints. You know, faith without hints is dead. And so I drop some hints and I say, now listen, hey, when your tomatoes come into harvest, if you want to, you don't have to, but God will vex you if you don't. But if you want to, bring me some tomatoes from your garden. I'll take them. Because I love garden tomatoes, because I can't even eat them in grocery stores anymore because they taste like rocks. And so this last year, I neglected to do it. And you know what? I barely got any tomatoes, and I will never make that mistake again. But in this packet of seeds is an unlimited amount of tomatoes. Now, you can grow this and eat it and consume all of it. But that's exactly what people do in the kingdom. They eat everything they consume, and they never learn to live their life as a seed. Your life in the kingdom of God is a seed. If these tomatoes seeds are planted and they produce little plants that produce 3 or 4 or 5 tomatoes, and all of those tomatoes are consumed, the seeds are gone. But if you take a good portion of those tomatoes and you take the seeds out of them and replant them and then replant them and then replant them, potentially, there are 5 million tomatoes in this little packet. That's how the kingdom operates. But most people see it operating as a tree, as this kind of, just in a very short period of time, bam, this happens and it's simple. The kingdom of God, this is very important, it is a kingdom of seeds, not trees. Now, let me read you from the book of Mark. Chapter 4, verse 30. Jesus said, "How can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It, the kingdom of God, is like a mustard seed planted." Everybody say planted. It's planted in the ground or in the earth. It is the smallest of seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shelter. Seeds have to be planted for them to do any good. These seeds, as long as they remain in this packet, are worthless. The seed of your life not planted doesn't matter. It doesn't work. It doesn't bring anything. But the seeds of God's kingdom don't work on the clock we think they do. In our world, we typically, for whatever reason, our culture has developed to where we measure things in a one-year increment of time. In fact, most goals that people set are one-year increments, and that's actually detrimental, because you will overestimate what you can do in 1 year, and you will underestimate what you can do in 3 to 5. But if all you ever set are one-year goals, you're going to miss, because things take time to develop. But most people cannot live with God's clock. The kingdom of God operates in seasons. And those seasons are not defined in the Bible. Sometimes in the Bible you'll find seasons literally 12, 13, 16, 17, 18 years. Some just set 3 or 4 or 5 years, but it's a season. And I want to encourage you to understand about, if you don't understand this about the kingdom of God, you'll serve God and then go out to your tree and say, "Hey, where's the fruit?" That's not how the kingdom works. The kingdom works by seasons. And when you understand that about God, when you understand that He wants your life to be a seed, not a tree, not something that simply is going to produce and then that's it. It has to be something that produces, that reproduces, that reproduces. It's critically important. Here's the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. The kingdom of this world is about consumption. It's producing for consumption. It's producing for my benefit. It's producing for my family's benefit. That's the kingdom of this world. The kingdom of our God, it also, which we'll see tonight, will produce for you, even in this life, the blessing of God. But it's putting God first. Everybody say first. Kingdom living is that when the first of these seeds go into God's kingdom and you don't consume them. Most people, the reason they don't enjoy the blessing of heaven is they eat the seed. And when you understand the operation of the kingdom of God and you understand how it works, you'll find that very easily you can be living contrary to the operation of that kingdom and yet expecting just the opposite of what it never promises. Let me tell you a story about a seed that became literally not just a tree, but a forest of trees. It was 1976. There was a 40-year-old woman. And she had become very depressed and very despondent. Life had become extremely difficult. And she really despaired to even live. And so often she said she would be in her bathroom getting ready, and the thought would cross her mind, why even live? She said she'd have a razor in her hand sometime and think, why can't I just, gosh, I could just end my life. And she said, the only reason I didn't do it is because I had children. And I thought, I can't leave them behind. Not like this. But she was so clear. She said, if I didn't have kids, I would take my own life. And if you live any length of time on this earth, you're probably going to come to times when life can become so painfully, painfully difficult. Well, she was in bed in this season of her life. She's laying in bed. She's planning to go and has an appointment at a little community college to kind of try to do something with her life that will give it meaning. While she's laying there in the evening, about to go to bed, God showed up in her life. Now, this happened to be something extremely supernatural, which I don't know a lot of time. I mean, many times this will never happen to you in your life, but let me tell you, it happened to her. While she was laying there, she heard what to her sounded like an actual audible voice. She said it was to the right side of her head and behind her. And the verse spoke, the voice spoke a Bible verse. Now, her religious background didn't really use the Bible, read the Bible much at all, really. And so she had no idea this was in the Bible. And it was the words of Jesus. And it's in Matthew 6:33, where Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And here's what she heard. "Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be given to you as well." Interesting, isn't it? That Jesus spoke to her heart, and she heard it in her own ears, what he had said 2,000 years before. In the context of Matthew 6 is people trying to figure out a way to make their life meaningful, how to get all the stuff they need, how to figure out how to live in this world. And Jesus actually said, don't put that first. If you'll put my kingdom first, everything everyone else is fighting for and striving for, listen now, I will give you. It so impacted her, she canceled the appointment. And she began to figure out ways, how do I seek God? And she found her way into a Bible study. While at the Bible study, the woman leading the Bible study at the end came to her privately and said, would you like to be saved from your sins and receive Jesus, and your sins will be washed away? Her answer to this woman was, I couldn't be. It can't be simple like that. You have to work. You have to earn this. There's no way it can be that simple. And she rejected the gospel because the gospel is about what Jesus did for you, not how much you can do for him. And the woman handed her a Bible and said, would you mind just reading these verses? And so she gets her Bible and she reads these verses. And she said when she was reading the scripture, she can't explain what it was, but she said, just this presence, knowing now the presence of God, she was so overwhelmed because God and his word are one. And she turned to this woman and she said, yes, I want to. And that night, it was November 16th, 1976, at 10 o'clock, she gave her life to Christ. And she's been living for him her whole life ever since. That night, her life became a seed. It didn't look like it would ever produce anything. There was no special thing happening in her life, but her life became a seed. That person is my mother. She gave her life to him. You never know who's on the other side of the seed of your life. And not just am I a tree that came out of the seed of her life, so are you. If this church has had any impact in your life, she never could have imagined that day when she gave her life to Christ, that my life wouldn't be like it is today. And if this church has helped you, neither would yours. That's how the kingdom of God works. What is on the other side of the seed of your life? What's on the other side of you giving your life to Christ in such a way that you live beyond yourself in the portion of your life that belongs to him? You give it to him. The seeds you put into the kingdom of God, they leave your hand, but they never leave your life. And they can produce in ways that are unimaginable. Maybe you're like my mom and ready to give up in areas of your life. Please don't give up on the seed of God in your life, please. Because the kingdom of God, he said, he starts with the smallest of seeds, but it grows and it multiplies. Our God's a multiplier. The second thing I want you to understand is this about the kingdom. Just like Jesus, my seed that leaves my hand of my life must die in order to multiply. Well, there's nothing in the kingdom of this world that would tell you that. It's like, no, I won't sign up for that. Because people don't know that God's ways are not man's ways. That in dying, Jesus actually said, you'll find life. Listen to what the scripture says, that Jesus, who was the very first seed by his own words in John 12, verse 23. And Jesus replied and said this, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." He was talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. "And I tell you the truth, unless a seed of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Jesus was the first. He was actually the seed that God sowed into the earth. God so loved the world that he sowed the seed of his very own Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus said, if a seed doesn't leave the packet, if you will, and go into the earth and die, then it can never produce. He said it will remain singular. It will remain alone. And for many people that name Jesus as the Lord of their life, they live and they die. And they never sow the portion of their life that belongs to God. And they never enjoy what it means to have heaven breathe on you in a way that you'll never know, caring only for yourself. Because the seed of my life has to die if it's going to produce a harvest. Let me say it again. The seed may leave your hand, but it will never, ever leave your life. I'm so convinced. My mom, if you can ask her, in a million years, would have never seen you. Would have never seen that just one seed in her life, just one, and there are so many more. Tens of thousands of people over these 30 years have given their life to Christ. Those of you at Newcastle, you are a part of that seed. We have no idea, do we? But the seed, for it to actually produce, it has to die. When you live a kingdom life, this is critical. You stop wanting to be the hero in your own story. And you want to be a hero maker. You actually want to be a hero in someone else's story to be able to launch them to be what God's called them to be. That's the life of a kingdom person. That you're always thinking, not in terms of consumption, not in terms of even immediate fruit, but in terms of seeds that will produce and then reproduce and then reproduce and reproduce. You will only experience the power of a seed when it dies. This packet of these tiny little seeds, you can't even feel them in here almost. Inherent within these seeds are tomatoes. There's power within the seed, but it remains latent until it's sown, until the seed dies. And so I want to encourage you to be intentional, because you're going to have to choose to do something with your life. And here's the third point. God doesn't control my harvest or my blessing. Boy, this will mess you up if you have a religious background. What do you mean God's not in control of him blessing me? I want you to see in the Bible, in the kingdom of God, listen to me, God is not in control of the harvest you reap or the blessing you enjoy in this life. He said, but wait a minute, he's the one that blesses me. If you understand how the kingdom works, I'm going to show you a scripture that's going to show you that it is within your hand and within your power to the degree of the harvest you enjoy in this life. Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and he happened to be writing about an offering. They were giving money. This verse and the one I'm about to read have to do with giving of your resources, but forget the context of the money. Any act of obedience before God is a seed, every single one of them. And I get to choose. Remember, you are made, I am made in the likeness and in the image of God. He has given me the power to choose. And what I do with that likeness and image, what I do with the choice, will determine the level that I walk in his favor, his blessing, and even the fruitfulness that God called my life to be toward others. So Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and listen to what he said. And this again is regarding them giving an offering to the poor, but put obedience in here, not just giving money. Remember this, Paul said. These are words penned by Paul, but by the Spirit of God. Remember this, whoever, everybody say whoever. Whoever, that's non-discriminate, that's in everybody. Whoever sows or gives sparingly, he's talking about the offering to the poor, will also reap or receive sparingly. And whoever gives or sows generously will also reap or receive generously. Each man should sow or give into this offering for the poor what he has decided in his heart to give, not doing so reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let me say it again. You, not God, expect the quantity. You get to decide. Say it out loud, decide. You get to decide the quantity of the seeds you will sow with your life. And as a result, you get to determine the size of your harvest. Do you want to know why I ask for tomatoes every summer? Because they don't grow automatically. If they did, we'd all have them. How many of you love garden tomatoes? How many of you don't grow them? Yeah, it's too much work. How many of you know people that grow tomatoes? How many of you, like me, go up and say, hey, how's the garden this year? Do you ever notice we never ask people that when they're digging it up? We ask it right when we know tomatoes. Hey, how are your tomatoes this year? Everything going well? Yeah, oh man, we have so many of them. Really? You get to choose. You get to choose the portion of your life you give away. Now that takes faith in God. It takes faith in the operation of the kingdom of God. Can I tell you this? You will never, ever, ever outgive God with your life, ever. You'll never outgive God with your time or your talent and your treasure. You've got to be intentional. You've got to be intentional with this. But until you understand that it's your choice, not God's, I get to choose whether I eat these seeds or I sow these seeds. And you remember this, every kingdom seed you sow, just like these tomato seeds, have inherent power within them sufficient to bring to pass what they promise. None of us have any problem believing there are tomatoes in here because you know the power of a tomato seed. Because in these little seeds is the power to produce a tomato. Every seed you sow in the kingdom of God produces every single one of them. You have to be intentional when you plant a garden, and you have to be intentional to sow your life. The Bible tells us that a tenth of our money is God's, and it belongs in the kingdom. And then above that, he calls us to give offerings. In our church here, we give those into kingdom builders. God doesn't do that. God's never written a check out of my checkbook. My wife's done some I didn't know about, but God never did. How many of y'all, you know, Michelle's like, where'd that go? Oh, yeah, I bought something. Anybody? Okay, we won't go into that. That's the XO conference. Okay, we'll leave that. You have to be intentional. You have to be intentional about using the portion. Now listen, not all, but the portion of your life that God has called you to pour into his kingdom, that you give him first of your talent, your time, and your treasure. That means serving where you don't feel like it. It means things leaving your hand when you don't, it's never convenient to help people. Well, I just need to get my life together and in 10 years then I'll do something for others. No, start sowing now. The kingdom works by what you decide to give, what you decide to sow. And I want to encourage every one of you, sow of your time, sow of your talent, sow of your treasure. So what's that mean? What do you mean my talent and my time? That means what are you doing more than just for yourself that's about the kingdom of God? You can serve in student ministries, kids ministry. You can serve in the cafe. You can be in the parking lot. You say, well, our parking lot, that's nothing. No. The smallest of seeds, he said, produces a great harvest. That's how the kingdom works. Can I tell you the amazing thing about the kingdom of God? It doesn't respect where you were born or how much money you had growing up or who you know. These seeds grow if you plant them. And God's called you to live a because of you life. I think of my mom. She's 84. And at 84 years old, she goes and visits nursing homes to win people to Christ. And as in her words, she goes to see the old people. I'm telling you, she thinks she's 25. Actually, she thinks she's 18. And She goes to Victory Group, which is our ministry on Tuesday nights to those suffering with addiction. She goes there every Tuesday and has done so for almost a decade and a half. She's 84. She wouldn't miss it for anything. We have to call her. Mom, it's an ice storm. Don't go to Victory Group. I can drive. And she goes. Bless her heart. My mother's probably led more people to Jesus than most anybody I know. She's never stopped. What an incredible way to live your life. She's in the healing room most weekends praying for the sick. So where'd she get all this time? She put the kingdom first. She's 84, and instead of just sitting around waiting for the inevitable, which because we don't get to stay here forever. How many of you know we don't stay here forever? She actually disciples people. She's discipled more people than most pastors I know. Do you know you can live that kind of life? She's been doing it for 45 years. Only God in eternity will tell the harvest. And nobody would ever know her name, but heaven knows. And what you think is done in the obscurity, heaven rejoices over. And then finally this, it is remarkable for each of us to know this, that the smallest of kingdom seeds have the power to change a life, your life, a town, a city, the northeastern region, the world. Kingdom seeds change the world. Proverbs 11:24 tells us this. One man gives freely and becomes more wealthy. Another is stingy and loses everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. That is the kingdom principle that we are called to live by. Now that verse is talking again about money, but please think broader than money, please. Think of your life, your time, and your talents. What are you doing with the part of your life that you've been enriched and given capacity? Where are you putting that in God's kingdom? There's a place for it. And I know that He wants to show you that tonight. I really do. I know He wants to give you a next step, because it's important that you know that the power in the seed is not just to bless others, but it's also to bless you. It's God literally said, it's the generous that refresh others that will be refreshed, sowing and reaping. This is the way in the manner in which God pours out His blessing in His kingdom. And we get to choose and decide whether we will walk within the principles of the kingdom or reject it. And I would suggest to you that for many of God's precious kids, they hold a packet of seeds in their life, if you will. They never sow them, and then they keep praying for tomatoes. If I were praying for tomatoes and I never broke these seeds out and planted them, you would say, John, what do you, no, you have to plant them. That's the kingdom of God. It's my hope tonight that you can hear God's voice for yourself. The words that I've spoken to you this evening are the words of a human being bringing God's word to you the best they can under the grace of God upon my life. But anything that changes your life will be God, the Holy Spirit, actually speaking to your heart and teaching you. Do you know that you can hear His voice? In a moment, I want to help you and take you into a place of worship, into God's presence. And we're in His presence now, but I want to go into the presence of God intentionally, and we're going to worship Him. And I want you, as we do, to be pondering and asking of two questions in your heart. Here's the first one. God, what did you say to me tonight? Well, not what did the pastor say. What did God, you know, oh, man, that He spoke to your heart about tonight. And here's the second question. Heavenly Father, what's my next step? Most people think to do something great, you have to take a leap. But it's not, it's a step. The Bible said God blesses the steps of the righteous, not the leaps. The kingdom is taking a next step. Yeah, but it's nothing. No, it's a seed. And then you leave this place saying, I'm going to take that next step, no matter what it might be for you. Would you stand together with me? I want to pray us into this time of worship. And I want to pray over your life that the Holy Spirit right now would speak into your life directly, that He would move supernaturally in this room. For some of you in this room, that might mean He heals your body. For some, you might get direction, but for all of us, He wants to speak into our life, how to use our lives in the kingdom and to sow them as a seed Let me pray over you. Your life matters. Your life matters. The seed of your life, it matters that you honor God and you hear His voice. Someone is on the other side of the seed of your life waiting for your obedience. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for every one of us here tonight. I thank you for the privilege today as we come into your presence. Oh Lord, I ask you, help us. Help us to yield to your goodness and kindness. Help us to believe that you truly love us and you give us only direction that will better our life and the lives of those around us. Holy Spirit, speak in this room into our hearts and move as you will. Let's worship Him. Let's just worship. I thank you for the privilege to live within the principles of the kingdom of our God. We seek them. We seek you first. We put you first. So we're worshiping God. The Holy Spirit spoke the scripture to my heart. The Bible said the farmer doesn't farm unless he does so in hope. I don't know much about farming. I have a good friend that's a farmer, and the amount of work and the amount of money that they spend on good seeds before they ever get anything, any harvest, is unimaginable to me. They work and work and work, but they do it because there's a hope of a harvest. And as much faith as a farmer can have in dirt that God made that can bring the life out of the seed, you have to have hope. You have to have hope that when you sow the seed of your life into the earth, as it leaves your hand but not your life, that it goes into the soil of the faithfulness of God, and it will produce in your life. That seed will produce in your life, and that seed will produce a harvest in your life. So I want to just, right now where you're standing, what did He speak to your heart tonight? What is your next step? I want to pray over you, and I want you to take that step, because I'm telling you, it's not insignificant. It's incredibly powerful, because that's how the kingdom works. But you have to have hope. How many of you can have as much faith that God is as powerful as dirt in a garden? Come on. How many think God's at least as powerful as dirt and a seed in a garden? Can you believe that about your God? Well, every kingdom seed will produce. Let me pray over you. Father, I pray over every person here tonight. I pray that as we take these next steps, that we sow the portion of our life. We don't eat our seed, but we sow the portion of our life, our time, our talent, our treasure, into your kingdom. That we do so in hope, knowing that there is a harvest, not just for time, but for eternity. Not just for this life, but even the life to come. And I pray that over every person, in Jesus' wonderful name, as head remains bowed, eyes remain closed, I want to give everyone this opportunity before we go any further to give your life to Christ. If you've never given your life to Jesus, if you died tonight, you don't know where you'd spend your forever. I want to pray for you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm not asking you if you're religious or you've been to church or had a church sacrament. That's fine, but it won't make you a Christian. You have to receive the Son of God who died for you, and He died in your place, and He turns no one away. So if you're here tonight, you've never given your life to Christ, and you'd say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I want to invite Jesus into my life to be the Lord and the Savior of my life. I'll pray for you right where you're standing, right where you're standing. The whole church will pray a prayer out loud and together with you, and He turns no one away. And you will receive the free gift of eternal life, and you will be heaven bound when you leave this life because of the Savior. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, you can say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I'll pray for you right where you're standing. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Say, Pastor, please include me. Lift your hand, do it right now, and I'll pray for you. Do it right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands back down. If you raised your hand, or you should have, please pray this out loud where you hear it. Jesus will come into your heart and life. He'll make you brand new, your sin debt gone, and He will never leave you or forsake you. Pray this where you hear it as we pray it with you. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. So I open the door of my heart and my life. And Jesus, I receive you now. Thank you for coming into my life. thank you for making me brand new. I am now a child of God. My sin is wiped away, and I am heaven bound. Amen, amen. Give them a hand, would you? Best decision of your life.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.